Next public hearing is subdivision 2006-33, Bethany Short Properties LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in a MR medium density residential district in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, dividing 20.08 acres into 49 lots within the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone and located west of Route 1, 3,500 feet north of Fred Hudson Road, which is also known as Road 360. This application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott to just summarize any additional comments he's received to date.
Mr. Chairman, as Mr. Lank stated, this application was reviewed by the TAC Committee on October 25th of this year. That report will be made a part of the record. On Monday, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet and revised plots. Each of you has a copy of that. We've also received a corrective copy of the exhibit located in tab number 11. Yesterday we received a fax addressed to Mr. Lyon. I'm writing on behalf of the Sanctuary Homeowners Association. After the past summer season, we concluded that construction work and summer vacationers are not compatible. Therefore, we intend to amend our homeowners bylaws to suspend construction between Memorial Day and Labor Day. Because of the proximity to our development and our desire for peaceful enjoyment of our property, we would like to propose that any construction on the neighboring short land also be limited to Labor Day to Memorial Day. And that was signed by Sue Keel, the president of the Homeowners Association. And Mr. Lank received an email, it's a copy of that letter, and the email was sent from John Anderson, and he agrees with that previous letter, and they'll be both made a part of the record. That's all we have.
All right, sir, thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Jim Fuquay, attorney in Georgetown, Delaware, and I am representing the applicant, Bethany Short Properties, LLC. The two good things about this application are, number one, I know Mr. Schrader has already taken a great deal of your time tonight, and because this is a pretty straightforward application, I should be able to keep it very concise and rather short for me.
Well, we will do nothing to impede you in that effort.
The second thing, of course, is it's the last hearing tonight, so with me, Frank Connolly is sitting over here. Frank's a representative of the applicant. Also with me is Scott Aja of McCrone Engineering, and Jason Palkowitz, also of McCrone Engineering. There was a summary of their qualifications in the exhibit book that we submitted, and I think you gentlemen each have a copy of that. Their qualifications are at the end of that project development booklet. The booklet contains some summary information, some letters, and some maps that I think very concisely summarizes this entire application, and I will be referring to those exhibits during this presentation. This is an application for a 49 single-family lot subdivision to be called Blue Water. The site contains 20 acres and is located on the west side of Route 1. It's about 2,000 feet north of Fred Hudson Road, which, of course, is the road that goes from Route 1 out to Salt Pond. The property borders lands of the state of Delaware on the north and the west side. Route 1 is on the east side of the property, and on the south side of the property is the Sanctuary Subdivision and the Sussex Shores Water Company. In fact, immediately adjacent to the site, if you had any question or had any doubt as to where this was located, is the Sussex Shores Water Tower. So that's where this is, and in fact, this property was, as I understand it, was Phil Short's home property. The property is zoned MR, medium density residential. The purpose of the MR district is to provide for medium density residential development in areas expected and planned to be developed, which is the nature of this area. For density purposes, the MR district requires 10,000 square feet per lot. The Blue Water property contains 20 acres, and that would permit a maximum density of 4.3 lots per acre, or about 86 lots. And again, the Blue Water proposal is for 49 individual single-family lots, being a density of 2.4 lots per acre. The property is located in the environmentally sensitive development area under the 2003 Sussex County Land Use Plan. The environmentally sensitive development area is designated as a growth area under the comp plan, and the purpose of that growth area is to accommodate the increased demand for housing units, but to do it in a manner that protects the sensitive environmental nature of the area. The comp plan further provides that when central wastewater system is provided, the permitted residential density would be the maximum permitted, and as I said, the 49 lots being requested is about 56% of what is already permitted under the MR zoning and the county land use plan. The plan also recommended the clustering of lots to allow a minimum lot size of 7,500 square foot per lot. That recommendation was enacted as law by the adoption of the environmentally sensitive development overlay ordinance, which permits the 7,500 square foot lot size in this area if central water and sewer provided, which they will be for this development. Blue Water will have central water. It'll be provided by Sussex County. It'll have central water and will have Sussex County sewer. It's utilized the cluster provision to reduce the lot size, and that does result in the development design of 49 individual lots and approximately 6 acres of open space, which includes active recreation use, buffers, and conservation areas. The open space of the site constitutes approximately 30% of the property. The minimum lot size, as I said, is 7,500 square feet. The actual average lot size is about 9,354 square feet. Ed Linnae of Environmental Resources, Inc. performed a wetland delineation that determined that there were 0.19 acres of tidal wetlands and 1.45 acres of non-tidal wetlands. That delineation was submitted to the Army Corps of Engineers, and they did approve that delineation. And there is a letter from the Army Corps in the exhibit book. Blue Water will have central water for domestic use and fire protection. That will be provided by Sussex Shores Water Company. And as I said, with the water tower next door, the water pressure should not be a problem at that site. The site is located in the North Bethany expansion area of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. And the site will be served by the county sewer. The developer, of course, is responsible for infrastructure improvements and connections to the system. A sanitary sewer concept plan was prepared, and that has been reviewed and approved by the county engineering office. Also, it's a county policy in this area that EDUs in the North Bethany area cannot exceed 4 EDUs per acre. And as I said, Blue Water would have a 2.4 lot per acre, which is significantly less than the maximum permitted. Other utilities serving the site would be electricity by Delmarva Power, telephone by Verizon, cable TV by Mediacom. The property's in the Indian River School District, and we anticipate little or no impact from the development, and it's also in the Bethany Beach Fire Department service area.
Yeah, right.
Due to the size of the development, a traffic impact study was not required by DLDOT. Per DLDOT's request, the entrance was relocated from its original location southward to where it's located now, approximately in the middle of the property. And there'll be one entrance onto the property from Route 1. That'll be a right in, right out. There is no crossover at that site. And Scott Agel will review the site plan with you in a moment. Now, as I mentioned, the land is zoned medium density residential under the zoning ordinance. This application was originally applied to the county in June of 2005 as a conditional use application. And it was originally an application for 93 single-family condominiums on the site. Of course, 93 single-family condominiums, there would be no lot lines. It would just be single-family condominiums in a condominium regime. During the process of the review period and waiting for a hearing to be scheduled and considering the plus comments that were received after review in Dover, taking another look at the nature of the area, And considering the marketability and potential purchasers in this area, it was determined to revise the plan and to redesign the development from the proposed 93 single-family condos to 49 single-family home lots. That redesign created more openness in the design and I believe more compatibility with the developments in the area, which are all very high-quality developments, and I know you gentlemen are familiar with the area. There is a map in the exhibit book that was submitted. It's figure 5 in there. And again, just to give you a sense of that area, immediately adjacent to the site, as I told you, is the Water Company and subdivision known as the Sanctuary, which is a single-family lot subdivision. The state owns the majority of the land surrounding that on the west side. And then on the east side of Route 1, you're all familiar with the whole series of developments that run down Route 1 along the ocean. From north to south in this area is Ocean Ridge, Gull's Nest, The Preserve, Bayberry Dunes, Pelican's Pouch, Seadell Estates, Bethany Dunes, and Ocean Breezes. The three closest developments, the ones that would be more or less directly across Route 1, on the east side of Route 1, across from the Blue Water site, are the Pelican Pouch subdivision, and that contains 36 lots and a density of 2.9 lots per acre. Seadell Estates, which has 43 lots and a density of 3.6 lots per acre. And Bethany Dunes, which contains 34 lots and or 2.9 lots per acre. So again, Blue Water with 49 lots has a density of 2.45 lots per acre. It'll appear very similar to the existing nature and types of development in that area and very compatible with the existing developments in the area. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Scott Aja of McCrone Engineering to review the site plan.
Thank you, Jim. I am Scott Aja with McCrone Incorporated. I'm a licensed professional engineer in Delaware, and I also have with me Jason Palkowitz from McCrone, who is also a licensed professional engineer in the state of Delaware. This particular site, first thing that we did was acknowledge the environmental sensitivity of the site. It's the most important thing about it. It's one of the last parcels of land that can be developed. And there's an exhibit in your book that shows how this is an infill project to the area. And with that, I would like to actually go to the map and show you a few things here. First of all, I'm going to speak from DelDOT's comments. We did address TAC comments and even some plus comments we had from previous submittals, and they had a good comment in regard to the DelDOT entrance. The original entrance used the existing driveway that came into the site. And the problem with that is there's a crossover that's diagonal and adjacent to the site. So there's a chance that people could actually take the southbound lane across to the northbound lane and go up. So that they didn't like the entrance there where the existing entrance was, so it got moved down 300 feet. And it could be they even looked at our plan because where they picked was absolutely perfect. The site works very well. The entrance works well there. It is a gated community. You'll see in your color rendering that you have in front of you, there's a gate at the entrance. And it's just a single lane in, single lane out type of entrance. So it's a simple entrance and gated. It'll probably be gated very similar to the other communities, what they're doing up and down the coastal area there. As far as the roads are concerned, they're 50-foot right away and they are private. They'll be privately maintained. Internal to the site, we have, one other thing I want to mention, the XL and DCL lanes that the state had requested will be provided. Basically, the distance is the width of the property, the frontage of the property. So if the existing shoulder is not adequate, that will be removed and replaced in accordance with what DelDOT requires. As far as buffers on the site, on the south side, 20-foot buffer is being provided for landscaping and for BMP or bioswales. On the north side, we've got a 30-foot buffer. These buffers will also be afforested, or some additional plantings will be placed there. On the east side, which is along the highway, you'll see we've got some 40-foot space there with some landscape that's going to take place. And in accordance with the regulations on that, we'll try to use native species that will withstand the environment right along the coast. On the west side, we have buffering that varies as it goes down the side, and I'll start at the north end and work my way south. Up at the north end, we've got approximately 205 feet from the rear of the property to the closest property line. That corner is about 205 feet. And as we work our way down to where it next down and narrows in, lot 15 is about a 40-foot buffer provided at that point. And if you average it out, it's probably about 100 feet, more or less. As far as that's to the property line. As far as environmental features, the Ed Linnae, as was previously mentioned, went out and delineated wetlands. We do have a jurisdictional determination from the Corps, so that's all been approved. And from his delineation, if we put in the 50-foot mandatory buffers, you'll see the burnt orange line that's on your rendering. That is at 50 foot. So you can see we're exceeding the 50 foot in many areas. As far as buffering state wetlands, there are no lots that are in any wetlands. We've left all the lots out of there. The only wetlands that we have disturbed are non-tidal wetlands, and they're located, you'll see in your site plan, right in this area where you have an existing wooded area. There's a little point non-tidal wetlands. It's 0.034 acres, so it's very small, or 1,470 square feet. We are going to mitigate those or replant those as shown at the north side. We'll plant at least at a 2-to-1 ratio, and we have the potential, if we take that driveway out of there, up to a 6-to-1 ratio. So just depends on how much of that driveway we want to take out, but we'll certainly commit to at least 2-to-1, and I'm sure we'll end up doing more. Trees. It was mentioned in there that the site is wooded. We are keeping wooded buffers along the sides. The front area, we have wooded pockets in there. They're really a result of non-tidal wetlands or wooded wetlands. So they will be maintained there. We'll supplement those also. And then some of the heavier woodlands that are to the north, of course, are going to remain, but we'll augment along that north property line some additional plantings in that area too. We did not keep more of the woods. It's important that you know why. We did not keep more of the woods there because of the elevation of the site. We wanted to provide safe access here, no matter what the weather. And elevations out on the Route 1 Coastal Highway are about elevation 6. As you work your way to the rear of the site, out in this area, it's about elevation 1. We wanted to be above that. We wanted to keep it higher. So we started at 6, worked our way across, ended up at about 4. That gives us a minimal slope for our BMPs, about 0.5%, which is very minimal. But that's when you end up doing that, you do end up removing some of the trees that are on site. So that was the reasoning for it. It's really for safety and access. And so that's why. Jim's already mentioned the open space being about 30%. Recreational facilities, two facilities I want to point out. They're both on your rendering. There's a spa combination with gazebo. Again, we figure this is probably going to be second homes, the older crowd, so they're not looking for real active recreational areas. We're looking for more passive areas. So that's what we've planned in here. So we've got a spa with a bathroom, a gazebo in that area for gathering. And then we have a secondary pocket park, which is more passive benches, flowers type things, where people can walk the dog, sit and talk. So we do have that. There were some issues about lot 49, or concerns about lot 49 down on the triangle down in the corner. As you will see there, again, we do have a 50-foot buffer from the state wetlands down there. There is plenty of buildable area. You'll notice on your plans that the front setback for the lot is in this area, which is about opposite the cul-de-sac that's here in the sanctuary. So the lot is plenty large. It does not contain any wetlands, and there is access to the lot. There is no problem with that. There's an existing dirt road that kind of meanders through there, but that would be pretty close to where the future driveway would be. Stormwater management, again, being it's environmentally sensitive, we have gone through the state's environmentally sensitive development protocol, looked at their nutrient loading, used their model, and put in our bioswales that we have, our stormwater management pond, our plantings, and the way we've got it set up. And the requirements for TMDLs was 40-40, 40 nitrogen, 40 phosphorus for this part of the bay. And the result going through the state's program was a 67% removal of nitrogen, exceeding the 40 minimum. And I'll explain this in a minute, but it said 100% reduction in phosphorus. I don't think you can get 100% anything, but the point was phosphorus pre-development was 0.03 pounds per day. Phosphorus post-development was 0.00. So the point being, it was so small to begin with, the program just said, well, you got 100% reduction. So anyways, we've met the goals and exceeded them vastly. I guess the only other thing I'd like to mention is, as far as nutrient loads are concerned, there is an existing residence on the site. That is an existing septic system that will be removed, so it's one less septic system in the bay. And also, there's a real population of geese all around that pond. Hopefully, that'll be reduced too, and reduce nutrient loads. The only other thing I guess I'd like to mention on this is that we provided some parking along that recreational area that we had on the road. And again, the roads are private and they'll be privately maintained. And there is a sidewalk that's provided on one side for the multimodal type access and access out to Route 1. I'll entertain any questions.
All right, sir. Well, we'll let Mr. Fuqua wrap it up.
And I will wrap it up quickly. The exhibit booklet that was submitted to you does contain a very concise summary of how Blue Water complies with the Section 99.9C criteria of the subdivision ordinance, and it also contains a summary of the environmentally sensitive development district overlay report criteria. That's on pages 1-6 of the booklet that McCrone prepared, and I'm just going to refer to that. I think McCrone did an excellent job summarizing that information, and it's all right there. Also, I'll hand out to Mr. Lank, again, just proposed conditions and proposed findings that I would ask you to consider in your review of this application. And I just want to briefly mention there, Mr. Abbott mentioned there was a letter that was in the file, and it's from the Sanctuary Homeowners Association. I don't think they were, in effect, opposing the development itself. The question they were raising, I think they must have had some situation down there this summer because they basically said that that development is considering amending its bylaws to suspend construction basically in the summer within that development. And I think they're asking you to consider placing a condition on this property that no construction could occur in the summer. Again, I'd be derelict if I didn't address that. Obviously, the sanctuary right now does not have that restriction, and if they so choose to do it, that'd certainly be their business to do that. If the county chose to prohibit construction in the summertime, it would have to be something they'd do on an equal basis across the board. They could theoretically, under the police power, say you can't have construction in the summertime, but it would have to be uniform. You couldn't pick out one property and say that property can't be developed in the summertime.
Have to be at least some uniform criteria at the minimum.
And I certainly understand probably the concern down there. There's probably some early construction going on and things of that nature. And I know you gentlemen have addressed that on other developments where you've basically placed some reasonable conditions on parameters of hours and things of that nature. And that certainly would not be objectionable to anybody. I would say that this development is certainly intended to be of the quality of the developments that everyone is familiar with along that Route 1 stretch. And all of those developments have basically policed themselves in a manner to address concerns that that the owners of those of any house would want to have for those protections. But obviously, any new construction does cause some inconvenience in its startup phases. We believe the Blue Water will be a very high-quality development in what is a very attractive, high-quality area in a very special part of Sussex County. We think with the design, which Scott just went over with you, you can see the thought that went into it. We think that it fits both into its natural surroundings as well into the existing residential neighborhoods in that area. And we would request your approval. And that will conclude our presentation, of course, other than any questions you may have.
All right, sir. Thank you. We'll see if anyone here has an interest in your application. Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor? I'm sorry. Oh, I'm the wrong way. I'm sorry. I'm in a hurry. I beg your pardon. It's late. I should give the commissioners a chance to ask some questions, I think, first. And I humbly beg your pardon, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll try to be brief as well. I think most of my questions have been answered. In the plus comments, there was a note that there was apparently there was a clubhouse area that Denrick had mentioned that they would like to have seen it removed. That has been removed.
Yeah,
and replaced.
The original design, this one was the 96 single family condos. This lot 49 was the recreational area. Right now, between the plus comments and in us sitting back and looking at it, we kind of came to the conclusion that to place our rec area over in this area, although it was a beautiful area in terms of its view, it really was putting that burden on the sanctuary owners. And we number one, thought that would be a problem, and number two, recognized that it wasn't really fair. So we went with that and redesigned it, pulled that back, downsized somewhat what we were doing, and created the areas that Scott discussed. But yes, to answer your question, that has been removed.
When you say we, being in the plurality, was that a unanimous decision?
Well, the we was just the developer and Mr. Age and myself. Let me take that back. The we was really the developer.
But is it possible that someone could look at lot 49 and see that as an asset to the sanctuary, as opposed to if you were one of the lot owners in the sanctuary on that cul-de-sac, and then you were going to have a house behind you, some sight lines?
Being
devil's advocate.
Obviously, it will affect some sight lines, but historically, if you went back, at one point in time, it was all Mr. Short's land, and this piece was sold to the water company, I believe, and then this was Phil's house. But Mr. Short being Mr. Short, when he sold that piece to the water company, he did not sell this piece here. He kept that piece. So when this was this piece up here is where the water company is. The rest of it was sold for the development of the sanctuary, and for the reasonable period of time has it just been vacant land, but it's not owned by the sanctuary. So what it's going to end up with is one lot there, which is the best that would have happened had that been part of the sanctuary property when it was sold. So I think the end result is you're ending up with one lot at the end of that cul-de-sac, which is the best it would have been. Does that answer your question?
It's an answer. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any thoughts to putting a fence along that line, along that property line with Fresh Pond?
Along the...
Along the western border.
Over here?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I wouldn't think so. That's just, there's nothing there, really. It's just a natural area. I assume it would be left out of there. Obviously, these are lots, and someone's going to own them, and someone's going to do what they can do within the context of the zoning ordinance and the private restrictions. We're not that far along. I don't know whether there would be a prohibition on fences, but there could be. I really don't know. But I wouldn't think anybody would do that because I think that's the view.
I was asking along the lines of public safety, because if you go down Hickman Road, you go past Billow's Package Store, you get to the end. During this week, there at the entrance to Fresh Pond, they have a lot of signage that indicates deer firearm season closed, no access, because that is a hiking trail, a horse riding trail, mountain biking, dog walking, recreational area. And they realize in the mixed use, they're trying to save people's life and limb during this firearm season. That's just.
And I think that would be something that, I'll make a note of that, that it might be a good thing to notify the people in this community of, that they are basically backing up to Fresh Pond and the nature of what that area is.
Yeah.
It's somewhat of a wilderness area.
I think that says it in the plus comments, mentions that there's all types of hunting activities in that area. Is the unisex bathroom, just curiosity, is that approved by a state of Delaware Board of Health for a public facility like that?
In a private community.
You can just have the one. Okay, so if any of these homes are rented once they're built, that doesn't push it over into a public.
No, it's actually, we checked on it, it's actually not even required in a private facility. We thought it made the spots more attractive.
Beats the alternative.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, again, the we meaning.
Moving right along, Mr. Smith.
Yeah. One last question. I think in the environmentally sensitive developing overlay zone, you have to have a acceptable comprehensive report of the impacts. One of the recommendations, I believe, was to contact Bill McAvoy, because they indicate that they have no records of any environmentally sensitive plant species or whatever on this particular site, but they mentioned that they, I guess, have not been asked to visit this site. Is there, there was not a blue referenced response to that plus comment.
And we'll cooperate with the state with whatever they want to inquire into. I will point out to you, they own all the land basically surrounding the site, so I think they've had ample opportunity to be familiar with what's in that area. I mean, it's not like we're denying them access to something they're trying to find out about. There's no history from what we've checked of any endangered species or, any endangered species or threatened or habitat in that area.
Is a copy of your search of those species and stuff included in this exhibit?
Because no.
I've just seen it.
No, there's nothing in there about that. Again, the site was, I know you're familiar with the site. It was, it's partially cleared. The rest of it is pine trees, basically, mm-hmm. that have been cleared out. They haven't been, they've pretty much been cleared out. They haven't been just let to go to seed. And it's familiar to the state lands to the north of that, except the state lands really have been grown over. So, I mean, it's pretty clear to see. It was a well-taken-care of piece of property with pine forest on it. But, no, we'll cooperate with the state.
But without an investigative report, you wouldn't know at Beach Cove, which is, you mentioned the developments up and down that area, they discovered Sea Branch Amaranth, which is one of the few spots in the entire world, I understand, that it's growing. And that's why I'd just like to see something like this on the on this site.
Okay.
Yeah, and we will.
Thank you. No other questions.
All right, thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Gordon.
No, all my questions have been answered.
Mr. Johnson.
Is the ornamental pond, is that part of the stormwater management system that's going to be developed, or where does the water go?
Well, that pond actually exists now. It was right. Mr. Short's pond. Scott, is it?
Yes, we are utilizing it. The water is going to be filtering through bioswales before it feeds to that pond. Once it gets to the pond, it'll do some little more management there, and then it'll discharge.
And next question is related to your sidewalks. I noticed that, and again, I realize that what the state was referencing in the plus comments had to do with a different development, but I see you're proposing sidewalks on one side, but they seem like they're disconnected. And if you're looking at, for example, lots 18, you have, I'm assuming that yellow is the sidewalks, the yellow brick road?
Right, yes.
That's your sidewalks. So you got it going into part of 18 and then it stops.
It picks up across the street.
Right, so you're going from, looks like a person, if they wanted to go to, for example, lot 20, they're going to go from lot 18 over to lot 7, down to lot 5, and then over to...
Good point. In other words, why not just continue it on around the corner?
Exactly.
I can answer our intent there was to get people to the recreational facility. People will always take the shortest path to get there, so why not provide them a sidewalk to get there? So
exactly. I mean, and that's the same thing going in the opposite direction. If I'm coming from lot 20, I now got to walk across to lot 4 and then down lot 7 and down. It just seemed like it's all disconnected.
That's not.
So just from the...
We could add a segment of sidewalk across the front. You're talking in front of 18,
like
19.
Just around the corner.
Seemed to make sense from a connectivity standpoint of walking, whether it's your dog or your grandchild, push them in a carriage, whatever. I just want to point out just the interconnectivity of your sidewalks or lack thereof. I have no further questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton.
I just have one. You mentioned that the slope here was 1, and as you got to the back of the lot, it became a 6, and that you were going to kind of level that, or the reverse of that?
Elevation out of Route 1 was about elevation 6, and then about 1 back towards the wetland.
Are you going to do that with fill? I mean, are you bringing fill in?
It will be
fill
imported. Yes.
So everything disappears?
In the center, correct, and then we have a planting plan to... put plants back.
Okay.
That is correct. Again, we run into this with the health, life, safety folks. They want the elevation up as high as they get it that's reasonable in case there are storms.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Delight.
No question.
Scouts.
Just one question going back to lot 49. The plan shows that wetlands WX and Y, wetlands areas WX and Y, and also it shows a wellhead protection area impacting lot 49. What assurances or what measures are you making to make sure that the eventual owner of lot 49 respects the 20% impervious area requirement and the wetlands WX and Y?
Other than the private restrictions, if there's something unique about that lot that would require extra regulation, of course that lot would be subject to those regulations regardless. They're state regulations or county regulations. And they would be applicable. All we can do is notify them as to their design requirements.
those tend to get lost in the paperwork of shuffling papers at settlement, and once they've noted them on that day, nobody knows where those wetlands are, and nobody knows about the 20% impervious.
I'd suggest maybe the best way to do it might be to put a note on the record plot that points that out about that lot.
Something to make sure that the wetlands aren't abused and that the 20% impervious is respected.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We can do that.
That's all.
It should be in both. Should be on the plot and in the deed restrictions because it's referenced. Most people don't see the plot or record, they see a promo.
Sorry. As far as the wetlands, there could be some field demarcations, permanent field demarcations, just as an idea.
No question.
All right, gentlemen, now you may proceed. And now we'll see if there's anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use, of subdivision 2006-33, Bethany Short Properties, LLC. Yes, ma'am. Step right up. Give us your name and address and tell us what you want us to know.
Hi, gentlemen. My name is Deborah Hartney, and I'm here to represent the Sanctuary Homeowners Association. And we kind of... We have an old site plan, so we would like to request a new site plan. Our concern now could be lot 49. We just wanted to voice our input. First of all, our concerns were the appearance of the community. Even though we have a water tower in the front of our community, we were concerned of what's going to be built adjacent to our property. And... of course, we're now concerned about lot 49. Originally, we were thinking if it was a rec center, it could be mutually beneficial for the sanctuary as well as Blue Water. That was a wrench, but we are still in favor of this community because it's better to be in favor than to oppose. But we would like to, since we are in favor of the community, would like to address the construction during the season. And I could shed some light why we're going to amend our amendments. And it has been common in other areas, especially South Bethany, during the season from Memorial Day to Labor Day, to restrict, you know, the construction hours as well as what can and can't be done during those hours. We're asking that if the house is totally framed with windows, that, you know, we don't mind construction inside the property. What we found over the summer is if you only get 1 or 2 weeks vacation, you go down to your beautiful beach house, and then you have construction going on, you know, it's not very favorable. Also, rental income possibly lost. We do have some homeowners that will rent out their property, and we found that during construction, some potential renters, it's been a long night, have decided that they were not going to stay. They wanted their money back and rent it elsewhere. So that's our concern. So,
okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
For anyone else who would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-33? Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-33? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we can take a decision, or you may call the office in the morning.
Thank you.